Good morning. Well, I'm glad to see you. I did not want to cancel church again. And I went out driving about 7:30 and drove around, and I said, oh, we can do this. But I probably should have called everybody and said, we're going to have church. That's all right. Well, as I've been saying for a while, we're approaching the Easter season. I want to focus on the sayings of Jesus. You know, he had a lot of good to say. And a lot of promises. Peter said, we have these great and precious promises, and by them we partake of the divine nature. And that's hard to get your head around. It is for me. No, I'm not a god, but I'm his son. I said that one time, a lady in church goes, you're not the son of God. I said, I never said that. I said, I was a son of God. You ladies are daughters. Jesus said in the kingdom of heaven, there won't be any marrying or giving in marriage. We'll be like the angels. So gender-wise, I have no idea what that is. Is it neutral? I don't care, as long as I'm in his presence. Amen. All right. This morning we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd. We have the word on the wall. I preach out of the English Standard Version, not because I'm backslidden, but because it's a good translation. It tries, like the King James, they tried to do word for word and thought by thought. So we're in John chapter 6. This is just a little while before Jesus goes to the cross. All right. Verses 1 through 18. There we go. That's what I thought. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Father, I thank you this morning that your word never comes back to you void. Just like the snow and the water that you say you send to water the earth, they do what you send them to do, and so your word will do what you send it out to do. I thank you for that promise, Father, that we have, that your word will endure when this earth and these heavens are burned up. Your word will still endure. I thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. I thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that marks myself and others in this room as your children. He is our deposit, guaranteeing the full redemption that is to come. And Lord, we look so much forward to that. But while we're here, help your people to understand and to seek you and to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I ask this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Such a powerful saying. And what had happened in chapter 9, Jesus had been teaching in the temple, and the Pharisees pretty much just said, you know, and he's walking out of the temple, and he sees a man that's born blind, and his disciples said, well, who sinned, him or his mom and dad? He said, neither one of them. He was born blind that God's works could be done in him, and he healed him. And I wanted to preach that chapter, but the Lord said 10. You know, I love this chapter, chapter 9. Well, he's healed the blind man, and the blind man in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priest fell at Jesus' feet and said, I believe, Lord. And that word Lord is, the translators put that in place of God's name, Yahweh. Okay? Yeah. And Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He said, who is he that I might? He said, you have seen him, and it's the one that's talking to you. When the Pharisee said, who opened your eyes? He goes, well, I don't know. It's just a guy named Jesus. You know, in all fairness, a blind man couldn't see him. And they said, where is he at? He goes, I don't know, man. He told me to go wash, and now I see. And I love, it's my favorite testimony in the Bible, in the New Testament. And they said, well, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you teach us? Because the blind man said, hey, man, look at the evidence. Nobody's opened the eyes of a man born blind. This has just happened. And now we find Jesus teaching. He's probably just outside the temple area somewhere. He left the inside court, the Jew court, because it was getting hot in there. I mean, so they wanted to stone him. And he said, well, Jesus said this, it's time to be discreet. But he got on his way out, he heals the guy and tells him very plainly, I'm your Messiah. And he said, Yahweh, I believe. And he fell at his feet. Don't you know that made the Pharisees so mad? They just wanted to. So he's got people following him. Jesus always had a crowd following him everywhere he went. And so he begins to teach, and he said, I'm the shepherd. Now let me back up. He says, anybody that tries to get into the sheepfold through any other way but the door is a robber and a thief. Now these are agricultural people. They're farmers. They raise sheep and goats and donkeys and stuff. And they go, yeah. He said, the shepherd goes through the door, and the sheep will follow him. He calls them by name. I love that. Jesus said he calls them by name, and they come out, and he said they know the shepherd's voice. And you remember I told you that word to know in the Greek is the same word in the Old Testament where it said Adam knew his wife, and she bore a son. It's intimate. It's not sexual intimacy. God's not wanting that. It's heart-to-heart intimacy. And Jesus said the shepherd's sheep know his voice. And I had the privilege of listening to a minister's message on Psalm 23, and he grew up in Louisiana on a sheep ranch. And as a boy, his daddy trained him to be a shepherd. And he said, you know what? You can't drive sheep. He said, when you try to drive them, they're idiots. They just bleh, they just go everywhere. And he said, what I did was, you work with those sheep. You stay with those sheep. You tend to them. If they needed medicine, the shepherd gave the medicine. And the sheep could not discern sometimes between good and bad grass. So the shepherd walked out there and he'd say, well, that's a toxic weed. I got to pull that up. Don't want my sheep eating it. You see some sheep over there on the side with thistle sticking out of his lip. And he'd have to go over there and pull the thistles out of his lip and say, well, you should have waited, you know. And he said, my sheep know my voice. They won't follow a stranger. And this minister told me that. He said, once the sheep got used to my voice, he said, only me and my dad could call the sheep. And he said, you'd open the gate, and you'd start walking, and you'd turn around. He said, sometimes you'd start singing. And then sheep go, oh, okay, I know that. And they'd follow you. He said, you let them. He said, sometimes the sheep would gather around the shepherd. So you're right in the middle of the sheep. And you're singing or talking or whatever, however way you've trained them. And they're listening for your voice, you know. And he said, anyone else come up that pen, they can open that gate and say, come on. And sheep go, I don't know that voice. It's a beautiful story of intimacy. Well, I said, nobody understood what he's saying. So Jesus made a remarkable statement that demands a verdict on our part and people today. He said, not only was he the shepherd, he said, I'm the door. And if anyone goes in through me, they will be what? Saved. There's a lot of spirits out here, beloved. And John said, don't believe all of them. And it saddens me. I have had Christians, been Christians 40 plus years, rebuke me. If I say something in a message and I say Jehovah's Witness are a cult. Mormonism is a cult. And I've had people say, who are you to make that judgment? They're trying to get to God just like we are. And I say, well, if you'll read their doctrine, the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of Mormonism is just one of many of Adam's children. And him and Lucifer are brothers. So the blood of Jesus Christ really doesn't do anything for our sins. This demands a verdict. Jesus said, I'm the door. What happens if you try to come in another way? Who do you say you are? A thief, a liar, and a robber. Jesus is admitting there's been harm done from false shepherds coming in. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. I was thinking this week about when Jesus said the hireling, he'll run when the wolf comes. He said, they're not his sheep. You know, I ain't getting paid enough for this. And I began to think about, and I'm not tooting my horn, just bear with me. I began to think about different ministers I have talked to over the years that would say, well, I pastored this church for 2 years and I left, and I was over here for 5 years and I left, and I was over there for 7 years and I left. You know, combined total, they've been in ministry 30 or 40 years, but they've never stayed in one place longer than 3 years. And I say, you know, why'd you leave? Well, I just felt God was telling me it was time. I give you that happens. We're reading in Isaiah this morning where God told Israel, I don't care what you say now. You've reached a point that I'm going to punish you, and that's it. And he does that in the church. And he'll pull his man out. But for the most part, when they got honest, well, me and the deacons just couldn't get along. Me and the elders just couldn't get along. we was having problems in the church, and I was afraid it was going to cause division, and I thought the right thing for me to do was to step down. Jesus said, there's the hireling. He's not going to stay with the sheep when the wolf comes. Where does the wolf come from? From among the sheep. Jesus warned about that. The Apostle Paul warned the elders of Ephesus. He said, I want to warn you that I have taught you for 3 years the whole word. And he said, after I leave, there are going to be wolves coming after you. And he said, they're going to come out of your flock, out of your congregation. That is a fact of life, church. And I have shared that with people that I've been out talking to, inviting to church. Well, they're full of hypocrites. They've always had hypocrites. Two of them died in one service. Maybe if God would do that once in a while, that'd kind of tone things down. But I'm afraid the preacher might go too. You know. But Jesus makes this remarkable statement, I am the door. If anyone comes in through me, they will be saved. And then he goes on, and they'll go in and out, and they'll find pasture. And he said, I can call them by name, and they'll follow me. I was in one church, and they got to talking about their association, said, you know, we're losing a lot of people to the Mormons and Jehovah's Witness, and what's going on? Are we not preaching the word enough? Are we not preaching it right? Are we not training them? And man, I had a word from the Lord. I'm not weirded out. I had a word from the Lord. And I was at that meeting and I said, they're not his sheep. Jesus said, they're not my sheep. If they were, they wouldn't follow the stranger. I said, sometimes the sheep like to wander. And the shepherd goes after them. Sometimes if they're persistent and they're wandering, you know what the shepherd did? He took the rod and broke one of their legs. And then he splintered it. And he would carry the sheep for a while. And then you'd see that sheep out there limping alongside the shepherd, looking at the shepherd. Every time the shepherd turned, the sheep turned. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to get hit again. You know, this is the man. And they said after the leg healed, the shepherd took care of it. After it healed and he took the splint off, generally that sheep didn't do that anymore. If he started to wander, the shepherd would go, hey, boy, yes, sir, here I am. Don't hit me with that stick again. That hurt. And the minister looked at me and said, that's kind of harsh. This was a free will church. And I said, no, I'm not saying they weren't saved. Okay? I'm not saying that at one point in their life they didn't believe when they heard the gospel. Jesus said there's people that hear it and immediately they receive it with joy. But in times of temptation or trouble, little by little they fall away and they leave. And I said, I'm just saying that Jesus said they're not my sheep. They don't spend time in the Word. They don't spend time in prayer. They don't talk to me. They don't listen to my voice where they become acquainted with it. If somebody comes to you with another Jesus, Paul said, let them be accursed. If somebody comes to you and says, Jesus was Michael the archangel who became a man and died for our sins, the writer of Hebrews says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? He said, God, the Word became a man because he came to save the descendants of Abraham, the children of men. It had to be that way. And this is what Jesus is saying to these people. And it says they just really didn't get a hold of it. But I'll tell you what, when he said, I am the door, and if you go in and out through me, you'll be saved, that got their attention. Some of them thought, this is great. Others thought, this guy is insane. It demands a verdict. If Jesus is not deluded, which I believe he's not, then Muhammad's wrong. You can't be saved through the religion of Islam. Pastor Russell's wrong. Michael didn't come and die for us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God Himself. And the Word became flesh. No one has seen God, but God the only one who came from the Father's side or bosom. He has revealed Him to us. That is a big claim when you think about it. Sometimes we don't. After being Christians for a few years, you know, yeah, we agree with that statement, but do you really ever think about it and meditate on it? I was talking to a man one time, and he said, well, son, I believe in Jesus just like you, but I don't think I got to go to church. I think there's many ways to get to God. And he said, you've chosen your path, and I've chosen mine, which was some of the spirit nature worship of some of the Native Americans. You know. He said, when I die, the spirit pony's going to come and get me. I said, when Lazarus died, it said angels came and got him. When the rich man died, it said he woke up in hell. And I said, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The Greek's in the imperative tense, and what I understand is he's saying, I am the only truth. I am all the truth. I am all the way. I am the only way you can come to God. And I am the life. What did he say to the sheep? The thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. And the world has such a draw today, even on the church. You know, be one of the beautiful people. I wonder how much some people spend on cosmetics, man. I see those commercials all the time. This one lady goes, I wasn't sure, so I got my dad and I rubbed this salve on his eye. Wait a minute, what'd you do that to dad for? Well, he had bags under his eyes, so do you. But I didn't want to try it on me, I tried it on daddy. And she said, we all screamed and hollered, and I thought, dad probably did too. My eyes! You know, and it's a salve made out of rock, but it drew up those bags. And I see people talking about injections. I don't want nobody sticking a needle in my face. You know, that ain't the place. Hit me here with a needle, not in the face. When doctor gives me a choice as to where you want this, I just say, right there. That's a big, thick muscle. Yeah. How'd he get over there? Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Everything the world offers you will kill you, it'll rob you, and it'll destroy you. Everything the devil offers. He hasn't changed his M.O. Why? You'll be just like God. I already am. I'm made in His image. I've got His Spirit in me. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. You ain't promised me nothing I don't already have. But people love that draw, you know. Hey, it doesn't matter if you're 80. We'll shoot this stuff in your face and you'll look 40 for a while until the stuff wears out and nature takes over. I saw one of the movie stars. I swear, they pulled her face back so tight, I bet her ears were touching at the back of her head. I'm not kidding you. Like this, you know. Oh, man, that's scary. If I was her husband, I'd say, don't do that when you come to bed. You know, just shut the light off. If I'm going to kiss you goodnight, I don't want to kiss that. It looks scary. And this really impressed me. When I looked up in Strong's Concordance, life, the word means life. He said, I came that they have life and have it more abundantly. That was an interesting word. Dr. Strong says it has two meanings, combined meanings. He said, I've came that they might have super abundant life in quantity and superior life in quality. Oh! And we got brothers and sisters that say, yeah, that's, you know, God's going to bless you He's going to grow your house and your income. And you know, Paul told Timothy, those who think that godliness is a means to gain, reject. See, that they were preaching that in Paul's day. Well, if you're saved, you ought to look like you're saved. And I've had Christians say that. Well, we need to look like we're saved. What does that mean? We need to wear the right clothes and drive the right cars and, you know, show people how prosperous we are, because nobody wants to follow Jesus if there's a chance they're going to be in poverty. I've been told this. And Jesus said he'd give us life more abundant. Who is he talking to? Who's he talking to here? Huh? He's talking to the Jews here. Are they saved? No. Now, I think his group is. Jesus said, you recognize I came from the Father, that the Father sent me. And they weren't what I would call totally sold out. They did believe in Jesus. Peter at one time said, "What?" Jesus said, are you guys going to leave me? He fed the 5,000 plus, and after he preached, they left. And so they said, who can understand it? This is a hard saying. And it was just the 12. His mega church went from 10,000 to 12. Don't you know today that the church board would have a fit? Preacher, you're fired. We can't have this. You know? And he looked at the 12 and he said, are you going to go away? I love what Peter said. Where are we going to go? See, once you taste of Jesus Christ, nothing else does. Nothing will work. Nothing the world has to offer can entice me to walk away from my Savior. Yes, I can be enticed. Okay. When Jesus said, I'm going to give you life, he's talking to a bunch of dead people. No, they were standing there looking at him. Yeah, but they were dead. Yeah. Earlier in John, he told the Pharisees, don't marvel at this. He said, the Father, just as the Father has life in himself, he has granted that the Son also has life and can give life to whomever he pleases. And he said, don't marvel at this, because they're just standing there scratching their heads going, this guy's demon-possessed, man. He's deluded. Jesus said, don't be amazed at that, for I tell you, the hour is coming, and it's here right now, when the dead will hear my voice, and they who listen will live. When I was in the world and into the drugs and the sex and the stuff they had to offer, I was a corpse. I was dead to God. The Bible said I can't receive anything from him because it's foolishness. Jesus was talking to a bunch of spiritually dead people. They thought they'd be saved by the works of the law, and here's this Jewish rabbi going, nope, you got to come through me. That's a claim. Either he's deluded or he's telling the truth. I believe he's telling the truth. Yeah. And when he said life abundantly, he said the dead that hear will live, and I will give them eternal life, and no one can take them away from me, because the Father who gave them to me is greater than I am. And he said no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Praise God. No matter how many times the devil or the demons run by and try to snatch us up, God goes, no. You can't have them. They're mine. Woo, glory. I was reading the Word one day, and I caught that where Jesus said, and the dead who hear my voice will live, and I just about threw my Bible up in the air. Glory to God. I said, I was dead. Now I'm alive. How do I know? I think different. I see things different. Things bother me that never used to bother me. And this is the abundant life our Lord's talking about. I'm going to give you life. In John 17, he said, I have given eternal life to those you have given me. He said, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. I'm not waiting till I get to heaven to have eternal life. I have it right now. And so do you, if you're a child of God. And Jesus said, and I'm going to continue to make you known. No man knows the Father but the Son. No man knows the Son but the Father, and to whom he chooses to reveal him. Man, I love this text. Jesus is talking to these hard-headed Pharisees that are telling people, you got to do this, 615 this's to be saved. And the rabbi stands there and he goes, no, you got to come through me. Wait a minute. If you read further in the text, it says, some of them said, he's demon-possessed. Why do you listen to him? And other people said, could a demon open the eyes of a guy born blind? I mean, there was God's proof. It's hard for me to believe that they actually have to have this conversation. You would think that those Jews that saw that blind guy's eyes open would say, ooh, that's never happened before. He's got to be Messiah. But they don't. That ain't enough proof for me. I have talked with people. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying this is going to happen to you too. The longer you're in Christ, you will meet people that will say, well, if God would do this in my life, just do this, then I would follow him. You know what I tell them? No, you won't. You're not going to follow him. Well, if he'd just do this, if he'd make this crime go away, you know, if he'd make that judge have sympathy on me and not send me up, then I'd follow him. No, you won't. Because he'll do that, and most of the time they go, hey, I got away with it. I'm on probation. I got to be a little more careful, but I'm not in prison. Oh, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never get high or drunk again, Lord, please. And God in his mercy say, okay, you're going to live. And the very next weekend, I was back doing the same thing. See what I mean? I wasn't his sheep. But there came a time when I heard the shepherd's voice, and it was an offer of mercy and new life. And I said, yeah, I need new life. I need mercy. I don't like who I am. And when the Spirit of Jesus Christ came in me, the old me died. Praise God, that's a good place for him. He's dead and gone. My Bible says my life is hid with Christ. And if he's hidden it, ain't nobody else going to see it. That's talking about my past. Nobody else gets to look at it. Even the accuser of the brethren can't come to Jesus and go, now that Rick Johnson, you remember? And Jesus go, yeah, I know. But he accepted what I offered him. And now he has life. And you can't have him. Praise God. You can't have him. So when Jesus said he's given us abundant life, church, he's talking about the abundant spiritual life. That's how the sister testified. We can go through all these trials and we can still have joy. Why? Because I'm following my shepherd. And someday, he said, the whole fold's going to come together and there'll be one shepherd. Now, am I bragging on myself? No. Well, I'll tell you what, we've been through some rough times in this church. Some say it's my fault, some say it's not. And there's been times that I got on that computer in the office and I looked up truck driving schools. I said, I'm going to start driving a truck. And the Lord would say, I didn't call you to drive a truck. Why not, man? There's good money in that, you know. I don't want to be a wolf. And I sure don't want to be a hireling. I'll stick with you until you guys decide it's time for me to move on, or until the Lord decides it's time for me to move on. And as an elder, I will look out for wolves, and if I see wolves, I will rebuke them. I'll give them a chance to either repent or leave. And that's the only choices they have. Am I somebody? Nope. I'm just an elder that teaches the Word of God. And the deeper I get into it, the more I love it, the more I love him, and the more I love his sheep. See, you're his sheep. You're not my sheep. I'm a shepherd. We have other shepherds in this church. We're all shepherds, okay? And our concern is the health of the sheep. We're to watch out for false doctrine, and we're to cut it off. John said, if anyone comes to your house and does not bring the message that we've brought to you, he said, don't even invite him in. Oh, man, that's kind of unhospitable, John. John said, don't. Don't even support their ministry. He said, you're supporting what they're doing. My great-granddad, they used to play poker on Sunday. And Dad said one day they was playing penny ante, and these Jehovah's Witnesses come door and said, Granddad went over there and scraped up a handful of pennies and went and handed it to them and said, "Hi, glad to see you here." And then he left. He shut the door. They said, "Why'd you do that, Granddad?" He said, "Oh, just they won't bug me." He said, "I give them money every time they come around." And now if he was still here, I'd say, "Why, Granddad?" Jesus has promised us abundant life. Is that the life you're living? I'm not asking you if you're a super faith person, healing the sick and the crippled and yada, yada, yada. I'm saying you're his sheep and you're following him. Do you have abundant life? Joy and sorrow, patience and suffering. And a commitment that says, no matter what I go through, I'm not going to walk away from you because you said you'd never leave me. And I have found in my life, since I've been following Christ, he's always kept that promise. There were times I told the Lord, if I was you, I would trash me. You know, I'd just get rid of me. Because I think I got it. Oh, I got it. Now I got it. And then something would happen and I'd just fall flat on my face. And that's when the enemy comes around and goes, "See, you're not really a Christian, you know. You're just reading the Bible and think you're a Christian, but if you was a Christian, you wouldn't act like this." I just tell them now, "Hey, man, I need Jesus Christ." and it doesn't end. I don't ever reach a point that I don't need him anymore. He is my Savior. He is my rock. He is the one who teaches me the truth. He's the one that says, "Don't go there. Stay away from her," you know. That's what he does. That's the abundant life. That's why the world can't figure us out, why they hate us. Them narrow-minded, intolerant bigots, what is their problem? We're saved. You know, we're following Jesus Christ. If he was here in person today, they'd be calling him that. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus wouldn't go on to the day show and say, "Well, you guys are wrong. You know, we got Jesus here. Let's interview Jesus." And he'd say, where they say, "What do you think about gay marriage?" No. They're not born that way. You know, I have the insight on that because I created them. They're not born that way. Marriage is sacred. Well, this interview is over. I'm afraid that's what would happen. Are you a sheep this morning? Are you his sheep? Oh, yeah. Do you know that he's right here in our midst? Wherever two or three are gathered, he's in the midst of them. Father, I thank you for the promises that we have, the very precious promises. Lord, that we are your sheep, and you call us, and we follow you, and you protect us, and we go in and out and find pasture. And you protect us from the evils of this world. Lord, you said when you left, you didn't want to take us out of the world, but you wanted us protected from it. And we thank you for that promise. Lord, help us to be the kind of sheep that you want us to be, to use our time, our talents, and our money for you, Lord, to make everything that we have available to your Lordship. I ask a blessing on every heart that is here. I ask that you give us safe travel back to where we're going. Be with us, Lord. And I ask that the fellowship of your Spirit would be with all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. This concludes the service.